بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. باب الصلاة على الميت وتشييعه وحضور دفنه وكراهة اتباع النساء الجنائز. وقد سبق فضل التشييع، Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this chapter with regards to Salat alal Mayyit, that is the Janaza Salah, the Shara'i significance of it, the virtues pertaining to it, the various adab and etiquette, what are the du'as, etc., that should be recited in the Janaza Salah. So amongst the various aspects pertaining to Janaza Salah, obviously, will be first amongst which Tashyi'ihi. Tashyi' means, or in English if you have to translate it, accompanying the mayyit or the funeral, following it, being present at the time of burial, huduru dafnihi. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah touches on one masla in the heading which, barring there being time constraints, we will elaborate on further, the karahat, in other words, the fact that Shariat frowns upon ittiba'un nisa al-janaiz, women following a janaza. In the chapter he mentions that qad sabaqa fadlu tashyi', with regards to accompanying a janaza or following the janaza, he says that we have already in previous ahadith mentioned the virtue of following a janaza. He's referring to the various ahadith. One is the riwayat where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amarana bi sab'in." Allah Ta'ala has commanded us amongst the rights one Muslim enjoys over another are seven things, and in that hadith, ittiba'ul janaiz, following the janaza, is one of them that is mentioned. Likewise, we find, in fact, this subject has been touched on many, many ahadith. Haqqul Muslim ala al-Muslim khamsun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every Muslim has five rights. Some ahadith, seven rights. This particular hadith, five rights upon another Muslim. And amongst them, for those who remember, obviously responding to the salam, visiting the sick, etc. And then in that hadith, ittiba'ul janaiz, following the janaza. Wa Nabi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man shahida al janaza hatta yusalla alayha falahu qirat, wa man shahidaha hatta tudfan falahu qiratan. Qila wa mal qiratan? Qala mithlul jabalain al azimain. Muttafaqun alayh. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man shahid al janaza, that person who presents himself at the janaza, we touched on in the previous chapter, particularly the last chapter, the great virtue that Allah Ta'ala has kept in giving ghusl to the mayyit. Chapters before that, person in the last stages of life, visiting the person, encouraging the family, giving them advices. From all these various ahadith, one important glaring lesson that we learn, alhamdulillah, through the barakat of our jamaat work in the various masajids, brothers gather on a daily basis, this mashura takes place. If somebody is sick or somebody has some problem in the neighborhood, etc., try to visit that person. In fact, our elders encourage us that they say in your locality there shouldn't be more than 15 days that you have visited every home. Now, if you have to contextualize these various hidayat and guidance that is given to us, turn the clock back 14 centuries. That time there wasn't social media. If a janaza had to take place, it wasn't announced that within seconds hundreds of people know about it. If somebody is sick or somebody is infirm in a locality, or somebody has some financial need or some problem, whatever it is, there wasn't this level of communication that we are used to nowadays. So if you have to contextualize how important it was for all these various ahadith, Sahaba Ikram, they would practice upon anything that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. They were not like us, very hesitant, or is it sunnat, or wajib, or mustahab. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, they did it. So for them to be aware in Madinah Munawwara of the condition of every person, this visitation of one another almost on a daily basis, the only way that they could have been following upon these ahadith if that was a path and way of life with them. And as I mentioned, that today, because this effort is taking place in our masajid, the ummah is gradually being reintroduced to what was actually on a daily basis occurring in Madinah Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot, from all these ahadith we learn, you cannot be living as an ummah or following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you live an insulated existence. A lot of us feel, you know, at times of fitna, so I must be to myself, put my head down, don't look left, don't look right. It is impossible to practice upon more than 50, 60, 70% of these ahadith if that is going to be our attitude. So one of two things, that attitude Islam does not encourage, or it is impossible to practice upon these ahadith. From these ahadith we learn, Muslim, if you look at these hadiths as we mentioned, one Muslim has a right upon another. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us with seven things. Make sure somebody makes salam, you respond to him. Somebody is sick, you visit him. Follow his janazah, be present at the time of burial. The family is going through some problem, musibat, make sure you are there. So from all these we learn that this is actual sunnah, this is the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we cannot be living an isolated existence. We have to be in contact with every person in our locality. Be aware who is sick, who is in need, who has some problem, where ghusl has to take place, where kafan has to be put on, following the janazah. All these ahadith teach us what is the mizaj and temperament of Islam. And like I said, gradually through this daily mashura or advice that is given to us in our masajid, find out, follow up the mulaqats, etc. Gradually the ummah is being reintroduced to what was a daily occurrence in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, coming back to this hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who presents himself at a janazah, man shahid al janazah, hatta yusalla alayha. Now when it comes to attending janazah, you've got one of two options, obviously. Like I said, we mentioned preparation of the janazah that carries its own reward. That also, unfortunately, as I mentioned previously, you ask somebody sometime be 40, 50, 60 years of age, and we've never taken part in one ghusl of a mayyit. Whereas if you look at the ahadith and the rewards and the manner in which it was encouraged, that this is very, very important that we try and redress these shortcomings in our lives. Coming back to this hadith, that person who attends the janazah, like I said, you have one of two options. You can remain behind till the janazah takes place, or you can accompany the mayyit to the graveyard. From this hadith, we learn, obviously, one is farz al-kifaya. Farz al-kifaya is that farz or obligation that if a sufficient number discharge it, then it absolves the entire community. However, for that sufficient number, this is why it is for, we say, farz kifaya. In other words, farz to the extent of the obligation or the requirement being discharged. So one is the janazah salah itself is farz kifaya. Even the burial, that enough have to take part in that so that it is carried out correctly. So you have two options. One is take part in the janazah, the other is accompany it to the graveyard. Today, unfortunately, many of us have very, very, what we call, busy lifestyle. With great difficulty, we barely make it for the janazah. And so far as going for the graveyard, when it's a close associate, somebody we are close to, a family member, then we do it. Otherwise, more often than not, we tend to avoid it. However, visiting a graveyard, taking part in the burial process, pondering over this is something our Shariat greatly advocates. Because one of the greatest challenges that we face without even realizing it on a daily basis. One of the greatest challenges that we face is to constantly remind ourselves of the temporary, transient nature of this life. that whether we like it or not, we are going to die. And that mort and death is not something that is far away. A Muslim doesn't live like that. A Muslim, for example, simple example, you've got a journey. Journey is in 1 year's time. Then there may be a journey in a month's time. Or then there's some obligation that you got to do tomorrow. Obviously, a sane person, what will he be focusing on? Not something that's 1 year's time or 1 month's time. He's focusing on what is tomorrow. When Allah Ta'ala speaks to us in the Quran about this life and what we're supposed to be preparing for, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْذُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. O people of Iman, fear Allah and be conscious about what preparation you made لِغَدْ for tomorrow. In other words, the ending of your life is tomorrow, not 1 month's time or 1 year's time, or in keeping with all the plans that we are making of the dunya. So the challenge we face, one is nafs is pulling towards longevity. False hopes, false desires. That which Quran describes, kasarabim biqi'a, like the receding water of the desert. That is the dunya. One plan to the next plan, to the next plan, to the next plan. And what is it? Like the desert dweller runs, thinks there's water, arrives there, it's receded, then it's receded, and then it's receded, and then it's receded. Hatta idha ja'ahu lam yajidu shay'a. Finally, when the end, inevitable end dawns, then he realizes this was all a mirage, trick of the light. Sun was shining on the sand, it looked like water. It wasn't water. So, then it is too late. Quran describes this hasrat. Rabbir ji'un. Oh my Allah, send me back. So one is the nafs. The other is, bima aghwaytani la'uzayyinanna lahum fil ard. This is an oath which shaitan took. One of the major battles that we face against shaitan is this concept of longevity. Shaitan will try and convince us that you have got a lot of time in this world. Innahum yarawnahu ba'ida wa narahu qareeba. You think it's very far away, Allah Ta'ala says it's very, very near. So, janaza, visiting a very sick person who is struggling to hold on to life, which is a natural human instinct. This is a very, very, visiting the graveyard, etc. This is a very, very powerful tool and mechanism to convince us of the importance that we also have to prepare, that this life is temporary. This is why we find Sharia so much reward also, and we are constantly advocated that as much as possible, take part in the ghusl, take part in attending the janazah, go to the graveyard. What did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach us? Say you enter the graveyard, Assalamu alaikum ya ahlan kuburi min al muslimin, yaghfirullahu lana walakum. Antum salafuna wa nahnu bil athar. Antum salafuna wa nahnu bil athar. We are taught this. What must you do? Address that grave and say that you have gone ahead. You have gone ahead, but I am right behind you. In other words, this targhib, this encouragement, this reminder, man akyasun nas, man ahzamun nas. Rasulullah SAW asked the question, who is the most intelligent man amongst you? Ahzam, who is the most astute, who is alive and conscious to the reality of life. Aktharuhum dhikran lil maut wa ashadduhum isti'adadan law. The one who never forgets that he is going to die. And the one who majority of his effort is in preparation for the life after death, not before death. Luqman the wise, when he was on his deathbed, called his sons, gave them six advices. Amongst the six advices, first two advices. And what did he say? Ijtama alayhi ilmul awwalina wal akhirin. He said, these advices I'm giving you is the combination of the combined knowledge of awwalin and akhirin. Whatever came down, whatever was revealed is found in these six advices. The first advice, ishghal qalbaka fi dunya biqadri baqa'ika fiha. وَشْغُلْ قَبْلَكَ بِالْآخِرَةِ قَلْبَكَ بِالْآخِرَةِ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا. Involve your heart and your efforts and your aspirations and your ambitions and your desires and your hopes towards the dunya to the extent that you're going to remain in this dunya. And how long are you going to remain? Lighad, Allah says tomorrow. And involve and focus your heart and your efforts towards akhirat to the extent that you're going to remain in akhirat. In other words, get your priorities in order. Be an intelligent person. In fact, the most intelligent, Rasulullah said, is that person. So, this janaza, attending the janaza, today unfortunately has become rasam and riwaj. Many of us are just going through rituals. We'll take part in the janaza and don't focus for 5 minutes that in the next hour it could be me. That has come out of us. So this is why we are encouraged, as we see in these ahadith and others, the virtues of it because of the tremendous benefit that is found in it. We've run out of time, subhanAllah.